Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Chicago school closures. The strong crushing the weak. And we asked the question, and it's a legitimate question. I want your thoughts. freedom@charliekirk.com. Why are some parents putting up with this? Not all parents. Almost every parent that listens to our show really does a wonderful job as engaged, or else you guys wouldn't be listening. It's just a broader question, more broadly. It's not meant as an accusation. It's a legitimate inquiry. So listen to this episode, and I'd love your thoughts. I learn a lot from you guys. Please subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Make sure you're subscribed and get your friends to do the same by going to the podcast application and subscribing by hitting the upper right-hand plus sign. We are constantly in the top of all conservative podcasts out there, and that's thanks to you guys. We're very, very thankful for that. Again, I love hearing from you when you email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show and get behind the work we are doing, go to charliekirk.com/support. I was blown away by the support we received in December. If you want to support our show, like Theodore from Pennsylvania, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you for your support. Ishmael from California, thank you. Eric from New Hampshire, thank you. Donna from California, thank you. Terry from Arizona, thank you. Gina from Pennsylvania, thank you. Cheryl from Florida, thank you. Sandra from Florida, thank you. Linda from Utah, thank you. Matthew from Ohio and Kathleen from California. We're building a new studio. We're hiring staff. We're doing a whole new setup. So if you guys want to help make that all possible, it's charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA, where we exist to help educate and bring and pass down American values to future generations. Go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. Schools are closing. What does that mean? Well, the strong is trying to crush the weak, and children are being let out to dry in this latest chapter of intergenerational theft. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. So as Omicron rages, there's a couple of takeaways that are rather obvious. This is more, it's a more contagious strain. It is not as deadly. And in some ways, it very well might be the end of the life cycle of virus. We don't know that for sure, but it looks like it very well could be. And that's some very positive news. And the portion of the population that continues to be at very little to almost immeasurable risk is children. We knew this with the original strain of the Chinese Fauci coronavirus. We knew this with the Delta strain of the Chinese Corona Fauci virus. And with Omicron, it's even more so. Some are even comparing it to a common cold or flu, which it isn't, but some people are making that comparison. Children are at incredibly low risk. In fact, Alex Berenson said that it's not measurable, the risk that children are at from dying from this virus. Fauci himself has come out and has said that we are overcounting the amount of children that are hospitalized with this virus. Listen to Fauci. He says, if you look at children who are hospitalized, many of them are hospitalized with COVID as opposed to because of COVID. Play cut four.
If you look at the children who are hospitalized, many of them are hospitalized with COVID as opposed to because of COVID. And what we mean by that, if a child goes in the hospital, they automatically get tested for COVID and they get counted as a COVID hospitalized individual, when in fact they may go in for a broken leg or appendicitis or something like that. So it's overcounting the number of children who are, quote, hospitalized with COVID as opposed to because of COVID.
According to the American Academy of Pediatrics, children have represented 0.00 to 0.27 of all Chinese Fauci coronavirus deaths. Last week, the CDC reported that weekly deaths in people ages 18 to 29 have decreased to zero from 1 in 5 million to the week prior. It is so rare that children are at much greater risk of dying, of being a passenger in a car, much greater risk of walking into a pool and suffocating. They're much greater risk of dying from childhood cancer than from the Omicron strain or even the Delta strain of this virus. Despite all of this being very clear, what broke last night is one of the most stunning violations of the social compact and social contract, the generational social contract, that I have seen in my lifetime. In my home city of Chicago, a city that had over 800 homicides last year, 800 homicides, most of which were black-on-black crime, and by the way, most of which remain unsolved. City of Chicago that says you're not allowed to go to a local restaurant without proof of vaccination. A city of Chicago that has become the laughingstock of the country, which is too bad. It used to be a great city, and now it's a dystopian third-rate city, third-world city, in more ways than one. In Chicago last night, to continue the downward trajectory and spiral into oblivion for a virus that is not even impacting 1 in 5 million children. Last night, the Chicago Teacher Union announced they're closing schools. Chicago Teacher Union approved an action of 73% of its members. 73% of teachers said that they want to pause on in-person learning until at least January 18th or until cases fall below a particular threshold. Play cut 34.
The Chicago Teachers Union action, approved by 73% of its members, called for a pause on in-person learning and to work remotely until January 18th or until COVID cases fall below a particular threshold. The union also demanded the city require negative tests from students and staff before returning to school.
What population in America needs open schools more than inner city kids in Chicago? These deeply troubled people that call themselves teachers, these 17,000 people, right? 17,000. They decide to crush and smash kids' futures that they are pledged to serve. Now, of course, the rich kids, the children of J.B. Pritzker, the children of any billionaire in Chicago, they'll go to private school, or they could go to school in Florida and get on a jet and they can get out of town. But no, it's the kid on 34th Street. It's the kid in Englewood. It's the kid that grew up in West Chicago. Those are the kids that all of a sudden are looking around and saying, what, I'm supposed to go do Zoom class now? 20% of children in the Chicago public schools go home to homes without internet. West Englewood and Englewood on the south side are the least connected, with only about half of children having access to internet. I want to repeat that. Only 20% of children that are sent home have no internet. So the Chicago Teacher Union, because they're afraid of catching a strain of the virus that is considerably less deadly. In fact, according to the latest statistics, cases are up 124%, more contagious. Deaths are down 48%. So it's half as deadly as previous strains. And the other strains weren't even that deadly, by the way, as far as the whole statistic population. And the Chicago Teacher Union, who are morally pledged to look after the well-being of the kids of Chicago, what are they doing? They say, we're going to close the schools. So right now, for all of you listening on AM 560, The Answer in Chicago, schools are closed. 20% of those kids that now are not allowed to go to school are supposed to do online learning. They just don't have internet. And Chicago schools were already a disaster the Chicago teacher unions, otherwise known as the Chicago Public Sector Cartel, which is no different than the drug trafficking, human smuggling cartel on the southern border. The only difference is that the cartel from Mexico doesn't have a direct impact on children in Chicago, only a tangential impact of bringing drugs and guns into the city. We already know that children that are born during the pandemic have lower IQs. We have created the stupidest, dumbest generation in American history because of the lockdowns. Adults are morally tasked with looking after the well-being of the upcoming generation. This is basic social contract stuff, especially if you're going to be in the place of an instructor or a teacher. You need to make decisions that are going to be in the best interest of people that are not in the same socioeconomic or generational position that you are for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds. But put simply, what's happening in Chicago is the strong crushing the weak. It's teachers that receive their paycheck, that don't want to go to work, that say to the black and Hispanic kids of Chicago, they'll figure it out. We don't care about you. As many of you know, most of corporate America is going woke, and that includes those companies who are investing your hard-earned retirement money. Well, guess what? I finally found a financial planning and investment firm that supports our values. Pax Financial Group in San Antonio, Texas. Here's the great news. Now you don't have to live in Texas to work with them, because San Antonio is a military city. They have clients worldwide. The thing that I like about Pax Financial Group is they have biblical responsible investments. These investments screen out companies that promote abortion, pornography, alcohol, drugs, gambling, and are anti-family or anti-Christian. Look, if you have $150,000 or more in your IRA, 401ks, or other investments, and you want to speak to my friends at Pax, visit paxfinancialgroup.com. That's paxfinancialgroup.com. Right now, they want to offer you a free ebook to learn about biblical responsible investing. Grab this ebook right now at paxfinancialgroup.com. Let's start investing in companies and make everyone's liberty a priority. 20% of kids in Chicago don't have internet at home. Only 50% of kids on the South Side, which is predominantly a black area, have internet at home. In the South and West Side schools in 2020, 1 in 5 grades of all grades given in math and English were an F. Despite all this, the Chicago teacher unions have shut down the schools. They're done teaching, basically. A WBEZ analysis, local station in Chicago, said that even when they have class in person, about 1 in 4 kids don't show up anyway. And this year, Chicago Public Schools have said that they're letting all elementary and middle school students move on to the next grade regardless of whether they even show up or pass the class or not. Just move them up. Adults are morally tasked with looking after whether or not their children and who comes after them is going to experience at the very least something comparable to the country they lived in. Now, the reasoning for the teacher unions, they say that it's unsafe for them to be in these school environments, which is a very interesting way to put it, considering the neighborhoods a lot of them have to actually teach in. But they don't want to teach. 17,000 of these teachers in the Chicago Teacher Union are lazy thugs. It's just that simple. They want to phone it in from home and do Zoom and Skype class, collect their paycheck, regardless of whether or not their kids, who, by the way, now thanks to these school closures, are going to be at disproportionate risk of dropping out and joining gangs. So homicides will go up, petty thefts will go up, Gucci stores being raided will go up. But according to the Chicago teacher unions, it's like the thing that Joseph Stalin used to say in the midst of the famine. What famine? Everything's wonderful. We have more crops than we know what to do with. No, it's actually, there's nothing here. Okay, we'll send you to the gulags. It's the very same thing. Our kids are the smartest kids in the country. It's Chicago teacher unions. Everyone's passed to the next grade. And it really does ask the question, which is, what is the moral compass of the Chicago ruling class, especially in the educational space, that believes this is even remotely acceptable? I'm going to expand on one of the things I talked about, which is the price, the cost that the lockdowns, that the abrupt changes in American society brought onto children who had no say whatsoever. For just newborn children, new research has found from Brown University that IQ levels are 20 to 30 points lower for new children born during the pandemic than before. It says parents are stressed and frazzled. The interaction the child would normally get has decreased substantially. The ability to course correct becomes smaller the older that child gets. Perhaps not surprising that children from lower socioeconomic families have been the most affected, as this resonates with many of the other financial, employment, and health impacts of the pandemic. You see, this is where they're wrong. This is not an impact of the pandemic. It's an impact of our reaction to the pandemic. Those are two totally different things. We could have and should have had a reaction that would have put our children first. Schools never should have closed. A child should never wear a mask, period. But instead, you have parents, adults, that deep down really hate themselves, and they're trying to live vicariously through their children in this kind of outsourced ego way. And that's why when you go to these stores, you see these four-year-olds with masks on, and you think to yourself, well, of course they're dumber, obviously. They're not hearing what anyone has to say. They're not seeing facial interactions. They're not learning how to read social cues. They're becoming quasi-cyborg automatons. But I want to pose this question, which is, why wouldn't the group of people that recklessly borrowed $15 trillion that we didn't have, why wouldn't they just repeat that same sort of moral behavior by wrecking kids' lives when it comes to school closures? Our fiscal policy and the lack of morality that came to our that related to our deficit spending the last 20 years is directly connected to how and why we tolerated the obliteration of our children's future. I've been telling you guys about Relief Factor for quite some time. And truth is, I know millions of people are, in fact, 100 million people are in some kind of pain. Look, producer Andrew, he couldn't walk. He was a hobbled individual. He was bedridden in his chair, complaining all the time. And then all of a sudden, we got this call from Relief Factor. They said, hey, we want to partner with your show. We're going to send you some Relief Factor. Producer Andrew got it. He took it, got a little bit better, took some more, got a little bit better. Next thing you know, he's doing the Fallsberry flop like you wouldn't believe. In fact, he might be training for an Ironman. It's pretty incredible. Now, he says it's thanks to Relief Factor. I ask him all the time, Relief Factor? He says, relieffactor.com, 100% drug-free supplement. You can get it for less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day. So go to relieffactor.com, and I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start to see if we can get you out of pain. And then after that, it's less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. So go to relieffactor.com. That is relieffactor.com. I'm telling you, a lot of people are in pain. It's 100% drug-free. Don't go to opioids. Don't go to these other things. Check it out at relieffactor.com. So a lot of people are upset. We're getting a lot of different emails, freedom@charliekirk.com. They're outraged that Chicago would shut down their schools. And it's, you look at a minority population that needs in-person learning and instruction, hopefully mask-free in-person instruction and learning. And this is something that really irritates us conservatives, and it doesn't irritate the left. You know why? Because we as conservatives believe every individual that is being robbed of an in-person education has the potential to flourish and has the potential within them to succeed. We believe that every single person, regardless of skin color, regardless of what neighborhood they're from, has a moral right to a high-quality education, at the very least, a moral right to learn how to read and write and do math. The left believes in no such thing. They just believe in monopolies and power, which is exactly why they're shutting down these schools, because the 17,000 self-righteous thugs that call themselves teachers that voted to keep these schools closed, the 17,000 teachers that did that, 73% of them, they're fine that the black fifth grader in Englewood is going to drop out of school and instead go into a gang life and end up dead in prison or a mass murderer. And there is a direct connection with school closures and increase of crime. There is a direct connection with school closures and kids falling through the cracks and getting into organized crime. But the deeper question that I want to explore with you is, where did this start? Where did we start the pattern of accepting the robbery, the thievery, the plundering of future generations? Where did we start that? Well, one of my first kind of, let's say, moments of activism in the suburbs of Chicago at Wheeling High School was working with some of my local friends there, complaining about the ever-increasing national debt and deficit. That as our deficit grew and our national debt grew, we were making a moral argument, hey, we're 16 and 17 years old, we're not even able to vote yet, yet we're entering into a fiscal and a financial situation and scenario that is less than advantageous, so our future is being robbed, our future is being mortgaged for the comfort and for the luxury and the short-term benefit of a generation that is not going to be inheriting the nation. Basically, the argument that we made at Turning Point USA and we made with some of my local buddies there in the suburbs of Chicago is very simple, which is, why are adults okay with borrowing all this money and piling it on their children? And I know a lot of you listening right now are probably getting mildly irritated. You're saying, Charlie, I'm not okay. I have voted in every single election. I have been protesting against this. I was a Tea Party activist. Then I'm not talking about you. Okay, so don't get fired up, because I get these emails all the time. Charlie, how dare you blame generational theft on me? I'm not. I mean, you're the exception to the rule, okay? That's very simple. The point is that the rule, though, the majority of people that are over the age of 50 have been perfectly okay with the moral injustice of what is now a $29.6 trillion national debt. You see, borrowing money to try and placate Medicare, Social Security, and generous welfare benefits, that same sort of behavior is precisely the same sort of behavior that created the robbery of children during the Chinese coronavirus Fauci pandemic. It's the same thing. New York Times today. No way to grow up. The toll. Children fell far behind in school during the first year of the pandemic and have not caught up. Okay. So we knew what was going on. We warned against this as it was happening. We weren't the only ones. Laura Ingraham did. Tucker Carlson did. Sean Hannity did. Donald Trump did. Joe Rogan did, Peter McCullough, Robert Malone. We weren't the only show, but we were definitely on the cutting edge of that, warning that we are going to be participating in a massive intergenerational wealth transfer of stealing the best years, stealing childhood development, emotional development, creating the most drug-addicted and suicidal generation in American history. But most, not all, most parents were unmoved by this. They couldn't care less. They instead bought into the CDC-induced fear propaganda, mass hypnosis. And so, according to the New York Times, among third through eighth graders, math and reading levels were all lower than normal this fall. The shortfalls were largest for Black and Hispanic students. So where is BLM, by the way? Are they too busy burning down Wendy's to care about this? Are they too busy purchasing more homes for Nicole Hannah-Jones? No, where is Black Lives Matter? Black and Hispanic students are less literate than ever before. And yet they want us to care about police brutality. Yeah, how about you make sure fifth graders can read? That's what I care about. No, they're too worried that 18 unarmed people, black people were killed by police, most of which were not even actually unarmed. Thomas Fordham said, quote, Michael Petrilli from the Thomas Fordham Institute said, quote, "We have never seen this kind of academic achievement crisis in living memory." Let me say that again. We have not seen this kind of academic achievement crisis in living memory. Many children and teenagers are experiencing mental health problems, aggravated by isolation and disruption of the pandemic. Three medical groups, including the American Academy of Pediatrics, recently declared a national state of emergency in children's mental health. They cited dramatic increases in emergency department visits for all mental health emergencies. Suicide attempts have risen, according to the New York Times. And by the way, all of this was manufactured by our rulers and by adults. It just is. There is no way to escape it. This is one generation that declared a secular jihad to try and protect themselves. Like, oh, yeah, we have to close everything down because I'm super worried of getting this virus. Well, what about the 8-year-old that's trying to kill themselves? Oh, I don't care about that. Okay. Suicide rates have risen among adolescent boys and sharply among adolescent girls. The number of ER visits for suspected suicide attempts by 12 to 17-year-olds girls rose by 51%. Let me say that again. Suicide rates for girls are up 51%. Gun violence against children has increased. Because in the midst of all this, we said, hey, you know what's a great idea? Let's also decide to just burn everything. And if you dare question it, you're a racist. We went on a mass cultural arsonist campaign. Many schools have still not returned to normal, worsening learning loss and social isolation. Lunchtime, extracurricular activities, assemblies, school trips, parent-teacher conferences, reliable bus schedules have been transformed, if not eliminated. Totally unnecessarily. Jackie Irwin said this is no way for a child to grow up. For many kids, school represents a safe, comfortable, reliable place, but not for nearly 2 years now. And it's totally avoidable. And there's so many different things I want to say about this. We don't have a lot of time. I've said this on the show. Can anyone email me? Please, freedom@charliekirk.com. Instead of, maybe you know, why are parents putting up with this? And I know some of you are going to email me, Charlie, I'm not. I took my kid out. Okay, fine. Great. You're in the exception. Why are most parents putting up with this nonsense? I suppose that is really the question of the 20th century, though, isn't it, Connor and Andrew? That really was the question. Why did they put up with Stalin's killing? Why did they put up with Mussolini putting people on trains? Why did they put up with Pol Pot? Why did they put up with Mao Zedong? I suppose we really don't have an answer to that question yet, still. Malone believes it's mass formation psychosis. Behavioral problems have increased schools across the country. According to the New York Times, this is not some right-wing thing. This is the New York Times. Says across the country, say they're seeing an uptick in disruptive behaviors. Obviously, it's going to be the most medicated generation in American history. There's more swearing, vandalism, fights. Teacher in Northern California says it's the meanest, most inappropriate generation that she's ever had to teach. This circumstance, basically the intentional obliteration of a children's future, it all started when we decided to borrow money we didn't have. They're directly connected. The real estate market is extremely hot right now. People are taking advantage of low interest rates and economic uncertainty by investing in real assets. Whether you are a first-time buyer or just looking to make a change, the key is to getting the property you want is being pre-qualified and having cash in hand. That's why you guys, all of us, myself included, I had to stop doing this. I had to stop using the big banks. I used a big bank for a loan previously. It was a disaster. It took forever. Not to mention, I go look at their score on secondvote.com. Like, wow, my loan helped fund abortions, BLM Incorporated, burning down of Wendy's, the destruction of our society. I'm done with it. Then I met Andrew and Todd. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, who have become great friends of mine. andrewandtodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. My producer, Andrew, he's working with them right now, and he tells me they are part counselors, part financial planners, and they're really helping them, and I'm about to use them for something. I've been so impressed by them. But they are bankers, not brokers. That means that they can help you start to finish. But quite honestly, let's divest and take all of our money out of these woke banks. So maybe you're buying a new home. Maybe you're refinancing. Whatever process you're going through, just fill out a couple simple questions online at andrewandtodd.com. They can assess your situation right over the phone. Go to andrewandtodd.com or call 888-888-1172. That's 888-1172. Even if you have a friend who's buying a home, I'm sure every single person knows someone that's buying a home. Just put your arm around them and say, hey, go to andrewandtodd.com. Charlie Kirk speaks favorably of them. Here's what I can guarantee you with andrewandtodd.com. Zero of the proceeds will go to fund abortion. Zero will go to fund BLM. Zero will go to fund the woke industrial complex instead. Andrew and Todd, they support shows like ours. They want to help patriots, Christians, and people that love their country and love the Lord take out loans and do it correctly. So go to andrewandtodd.com, call 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. andrewandtodd.com. Support the good guys and stop supporting companies and banks that hate you. The banks have waged war on our values. Time to say sayonara, vaya con Dios. Alvitasane. I'll be going to andrewandtodd.com. Let's go to cut 36. Student in Chicago Public School says she is mad her school shut down. I wish we were in person. I feel like I learned better that way. Play cut 36.
Corey and Tia, Lincoln Way high schoolers were supposed to go back to school here in New Lenox tomorrow, but didn't find out until today that this week they'll be staying home.
I was mad.
Why?
I personally don't like being online. I wish we were in person. I feel like I learned better that way.
It's child abuse. New Lenox is not in Chicago, by the way. New Lenox is south, south, south Chicago. That's right near Joliet. I have family that actually was from there. Spent a lot of time near New Lenox, not far from Lamont, which is where Turning Point USA was actually born. New Lenox is a far cry from Chicago public schools. And New Lenox, by the way, is a very high income area. It's relatively high income. And if you want to see, I mean, Connor, I encourage you to look at this. Go look up Lincoln Way East. It's one of the largest schools. Lincoln Way South, Lincoln Way East. I don't know if they have a North. These schools are unbelievably well-funded. They have like three Lincoln Ways down there. You see it, right, Connor? Is that not one of the biggest schools you've ever seen in your life? It's unbelievable. It's 3,000-4,000 kids easily. It's up there. And they're just shutting it down, sending them all home. Dawn emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. He says, I think they put up with it, parents, because they themselves are ill-prepared to think critically. Having grown up being taught they are owed XYZ and want others to take care of educating their kids. I totally agree with that. I don't know that they have the internal toolbox required to do what needs to be done. Over the years, our education system has set up our society with a population that isn't very capable of standing on their own, let alone challenging bad systems, which is a perfect segue. Two things before we close out this hour. Number one, as soon as we tolerated the moral behavior of deficit spending, which is the same thing as school closing. Make no mistake, when Congress started to borrow hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars, they were starting to condition the minds of the baby boomer generation that it's okay to steal from your kids. It's the same sort of behavior. When I first started Turning Point USA, when I started this 10 years ago, it'll be 10 years in June. It's been a long decade. I feel like I've been at this for a couple decades. When that first started, the national debt was about $12.5 trillion. Now it's $30 trillion. So in 10 years of doing this, our national debt has nearly tripled, at least 2.5 times bigger. And it's that proverbial saying of kicking the can down the road. Okay, we know that politicians are kind of programmed to not care about long-term effects, only care about short-term or immediate implications, such as getting reelected or campaign contributions or nice articles in the Washington Post or New York Times. But what was really happening was the conditioning of a population to learn to be okay with reaching into the crib of the child and stealing. And so then when it came to the situation where all of a sudden the media told you, hey, you know that children could be super spreaders, which, by the way, no evidence shows that children are spreaders. Dr. Peter McCullough said that asymptomatic spread is one of the great lies of the pandemic. Let me say that again. Dr. Peter McCullough said that asymptomatic spread is one of the great lies of the entire pandemic. I think we have that clip. We could play it later, but it's around here somewhere. But when parents were then forced to say, hey, we got to close down schools, we have to lock down our economy, which of course has now resulted in all these different things, it was almost like, well, yeah, of course. We're used to that. We steal from our kids all the time. It's called a continuing resolution. It's called a budget debate. It's called Illinois. You look at their pension problems. It's called an omnibus bill is what it is. So when all of a sudden the question of what do we morally do when we have to either prioritize our children or our immediate gratification so that we can remain comfortable on the golf course in Palm Beach, the answer was, let's do what we've already been doing. Let's keep the theft going. Now, the question is all of this kind of deterioration and dumbing down of children intentional? I don't have time to get into that. So you're going to have to email me if you think it's intentional, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.